Well, welcome to our last message in our relationship series. Today we're going to talk about what's God's plans for family and parenting. And you might be in this place, you're like, this is just not relevant to me. My kids are either old, or I don't have kids, or I've got kids and it doesn't matter what you say, this is just too hard. Can I encourage you, for every single one of us, whether you've got older kids, there are still things to learn. Whether you don't have kids yet and you're like, I don't even know if I'm going to have kids, can I encourage you, learn these things now. Make them additions to your life now so that when you do step into it, it's like, I prepared for this. You know, to drive a car, you have to go get lessons. Go get a test, and then you're like, you're on your P's. But to have a kid, we talked about last week how that happens. But like you have a kid, and it's like, no training. Well, today, this is our training today. This is our training to understand what God's plan is for family and parenting. You know, in my preparation for this message, I spent some time looking at families, parents, children throughout the Bible. And if I can be honest with you today, it is filled with stories that are both beautiful and complete chaos all at the same time. It made me feel lots better. It made me feel a lot better. You know, when it comes to families and parenting, the Bible doesn't sugarcoat it. It doesn't try and just be like, everything's fine. No, everything wasn't fine. People went through challenge. People went through hard times with families and in relationships. You know, we see pictures of parents doing wrong by children in the scriptures. We see husbands and wives doing wrong by each other. We see children doing wrong by their parents. However, in the midst of these stories, there are moments of God's redemption. There are moments of God's redemption. I think it's important for us to see that in the scriptures today. Moments of God's plans and promises coming to pass for individuals and families. Why am I highlighting that? Because it's true for all of us. All of our families have challenges and ups and downs, but we need to understand that God's got promises and plans for us. In the midst of all of it, He's still at work. You know, what this says to me about parenting and families is that it can be messy. It can be messy. Some of you may experience that even before church today, the messiness of family. But we also see this picture in the scriptures of people surrendering themselves to God, giving their hearts over to God and preparing to lead their families as God intended into promises. Why am I highlighting this today? You know, the Bible is clear. God has a plan for families and parenting. For example, in Luke 15, we see this picture of the prodigal son. Anyone familiar with the story of the prodigal son? The son gets early inheritance, wastes all of his money on worldly living. But Jesus shows us that there's this wonderful redemption arc to the story. The son returns to the father and the father embraces him and celebrates him. You know, it's a double-edged story for us today to understand this. God the Father receives any son or daughter who returns to him and forgives them. That's the first part of it. The second part is this. We're all shown to be expectant that God moves in our young people, then in our families, and then in our church. And when they return home, when the sons and daughters return home, we are called to embrace them in the same way that God embraced us. Amen? It's really easy when someone goes off and does their own thing, it's really easy to be like, shouldn't have gone in the first place. That's not what the story tells us to do. It's to embrace the sons and daughters when they come home. In the midst of all of these moments in loss and sin and chaos, we still see God at work. I'm going to push in on this today more than once. We still see God at work. We see a thread of his love and his grace. And even in the midst of heartbreak, he goes about calling individuals and generations to repentance, children back to parents, dysfunction to holiness. We see his righteous hand restoring families and individuals throughout the scriptures. We see this especially with Joseph and his brothers, you know, Genesis 37 all the way through to Genesis 50. Sibling rivalry at its absolute best. Jealousy at its worst. Amen? But the redemptive arc is powerful. Joseph sold into slavery in Egypt. God's hand was still upon him. God uses him to interpret dreams and save a nation from famine, and ultimately he saves his own family from dying in famine. And Joseph utters these words that what the enemy meant for evil, God turned it around. Genesis 50 verse 20, it says, and this is him speaking to his brothers, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Even in the midst of chaos, God is at work. God's hand works in the middle of it all. Parents, adults, young people in this space, individuals, God has a redemptive arc for your story. I'm speaking directly to each of us as individuals. God has a redemptive arc for your story. Don't give up. Don't give in. It's too hard. Forget it. We've all said it at different times. Oh, so it's just me. We've all said it at different times. God has a redemptive plan for you. I speak it into your spirit today. Your journey is still unfolding. Don't give up. Don't give in. Allow his intended plan for good to unfold in your life. You have to engage with that. You have to allow his plan to unfold in your life. I want to have a brief look today in the scriptures at what some of God's plans for parenting are and for families are. If you're a parent of older kids, listen in. There's still much to learn. If you're a parent of younger kids, this is your moment to switch up the formation of your children by understanding what God's plans are. If you have children in your world, what do I mean by that? If you're working a school, you're working at TAFE, uni, you're in a trade, or you're a school teacher. If you have young people in your world, can I invite you to listen in today? There is nothing more powerful than being able to help form young people and to take that seriously as a responsibility that God gives each and every single one of us. You know, maybe you're a young person today and you're just trying to get through this next season. This is your moment to take on board today what the scriptures tell you to get ahead of the curve. Learn what God's plan is now. It's never too early. I wish someone had told me this when I was younger. It's never too early to understand how to be in a family. It's never too early to understand how to be a parent. Learn how to love well. Learn how to facilitate relationships and family. I'm going to touch briefly on three things today. Three of many things, but three things today. These things are going to change your life and the lives of people in your world as well. You know, what's God's plan for family and parenting? The first point today is this: teaching and correction. God has a plan for teaching and correction for your life and within family and within parenting. You know, it's his plan that we would teach our young people the ways of God, the ways of Jesus. We don't leave it up to chance. We don't leave it up to hoping that they pick it up in Sunday school. It's a responsibility as us to train our young people. Can I encourage you? Don't outsource it. Don't outsource it to a Christian school. Don't outsource it to the kids department. This is something that it was a responsibility for each and every single one of us. Those peripheral things, they support us, amen. They're supportive. But we are called as individuals. It says this in Deuteronomy 6, verse 7. "You shall teach them diligently, your children, and shall talk to them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall teach them diligently, your children." This is God speaking to every single one of us. What's God's plan for family and parenting, for parents to train their children, not just to be good, not just to be kind? I mean, good and kind is a great start, particularly at this point in the world, amen? Good and kind is a great start. But to teach them the ways of God, the heart of God. Now, what are the ways of God that this passage is specifically referring to? Well, it's actually found in verse 5 of this chapter. And it says this, that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. It's calling on us to teach our young people to love the Lord, to be devoted to God. That this is the first thing we need to teach our young people, with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul. Does anyone find that passage of scripture familiar? Because you may have heard it in the New Testament, right? Well, we hear it in the New Testament in Matthew 22, and this is Jesus bringing the most two important commandments to the church, to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind. This is the first commandment, amen. See, teaching love, first loving God, second loving others, without this as the foundation for all training and all formation of young people, if we're not doing this, we're not building them on a firm foundation. When we teach this, we build our young people on a firm foundation. We see another expression of this in Proverbs 22, verse 6. It says this, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he won't depart from it. This training speaks of commitment to long-term teaching, long-term training, repetition, 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 repetition. Now, no different from physical training and exercise. Anyone go to the gym? Anyone got a gym membership? It's no different to physical exercise, long-term commitment to train our bodies. It's repetition, repetition, repetition. It's no different with children. It's imperative for the long-term understanding, the long-term formation of young people, to teach them God's love and his plan for them. You know, maybe you've got older kids right now and you're like, I taught them the ways and they've walked away. I want to encourage you today. Matthew Henry, a 17th century minister, said it like this. Many indeed have departed from the good way in which what they were trained up. Solomon himself did so. But early training may be a means of their recovering themselves, as it is supposed that Solomon did. At least the parents will have the comfort of having done their duty and used the means. What are the means? The Holy Scriptures that we raise our young people in. And so we need to do what the Lord calls us to do. What Matthew Henry shows us here is King David's son, Solomon, turned his back on the Lord. But because he was taught the ways early, he ended up bringing himself back before the Lord with a repentant heart. So if your heart is heavy and grieving at the moment because you find yourself in a similar situation, it's okay. Many have gone before you and been through the same circumstance. God is faithful. God is at work. You've done what you were meant to do earlier. We just need to do what the Lord calls us to do as parents and being part of family. Maybe it hasn't worked out how you want it to yet. Yet. Come on. Yet. Take comfort. Your young person, or your now older person, has seen you live out the gospel. You've brought them through the training in it. You know, if you have young children, or maybe one day you hope to have children of your own, whether that be through fostering, adoption, I want to encourage you, take note today. Train your children. Train your children in the ways of God. Train your children in loving God. Make the most. This is, some people are going to get what this means. Make the most of the time that you have. If you're right in the middle of it right now, you're like, it feels like this is going forever. Trust me. It gets to a point where you're like, where did that go? Where did my time go? Make the most of the time that you have now. You know, make the most of the time so that when they're older, they don't depart. But if they do depart, may your training be a compass to get back home. Your training is a compass for them to get back home. You know, maybe you didn't have the opportunity to train them because you got saved later in life. Don't give up. Don't give up. Your life is an example to them. God is big. His grace is there for older kids too. Keep bringing him before the Lord in prayer. Anyone in this room chose to follow Jesus as an adult? Like after your kids were like already grown up? A couple of people? Yeah, a couple of people. I want to encourage you. Maybe you didn't have the teaching as a younger person. Anyone a first-generation Christian in this space? As in, yeah? Ooh, yeah, a couple. God's faithful. God's full of grace. You're like, I didn't have what other people had. It's okay. God's faithful. God's full of grace. Whether you got saved and your kids are now older, whether you didn't, whether you weren't part of a family that had salvation, or God is faithful. The fact that you're sitting here as a first generation Christian is testament to the fact that God is faithful. He's done it in you. He can do it in the generations that are coming to you. I'm just speaking faith into you, right? Because maybe you're looking at it and you're like, this is all for loss. This is all too hard. No, God is faithful. Amen. God is faithful. Take heart. God is calling all people to him. And he will use you. He will use you to do it. Hebrews 12, 7 to 9 says this. This is going to really encourage you today. You started to read the first line. You're like, this isn't encouraging, brother. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us and we respected them for it. I'll talk about that in a moment. How much more should we submit to our Father of spirits and live? I want to encourage you today. Some of you might read this and go, I didn't receive discipline that felt like love. I endured it, all right, but it didn't feel like discipline for love. The understanding of being trained, it's relevant for us all. Maybe a training and discipline for my parents was good. Maybe it was lacking. But we've all been trained in some way. Can I encourage you? God loves you. He's proved that he loves you. He hasn't come with harsh discipline. In fact, he sent his son to the cross so that you didn't have to endure the penalty of sin. So we already see that he is good towards us. So if your experience with your parents, mother, father, guardian, wasn't one of love and comfort, take heart. God's not going to treat you the same way that you experienced. We need to be clear about today, because we can blur our understanding of God the Father and Father. Amen. So even as adults, God calls us to be trained, disciplined, and discipled in him. Good fathers, good mothers bring discipline to their children. Would anyone agree with that? Let's diverge just for a little moment. You know, some of us who are a little bit older, those who maybe grew up in religious homes, may have experienced the extreme end of discipline. Anybody? Don't put your hand up if you don't want to. But maybe you even went to a school that gave extreme discipline. Anybody? I got the paddle and the cane. Yeah, young kids are like, what? You got smacked by your principal? Yes. Once, it was enough for me to never get caught again. Why am I bringing this to our attention today? You know, if you have suffered and experienced the extreme end of this discipline, that is not scriptural. I'm going to be I'm going to speak very clearly to this, and you may disagree with what I'm saying, but I need to teach the scriptures today. Because let it be known that using scripture as an excuse to beat a child is not scriptural. We need to be clear. In a world we live in right now where domestic violence and abuse is at an all-time high, we as the church need to speak so clearly to this. We are called to teach and train our young people to love God so that he forms within them who they're meant to be and called to be. Does that mean that we stop disciplining? No, we have to. The scriptures tell us that we need to discipline our children. Godly correction, godly discipline, training out of love. You know, you may have heard a parent say when you're a child, the scriptures say that if you spare the rod, you spoil the child. Lots of ways to interpret this. The scriptures actually say, because the scriptures don't say spare the rod and spoil the child. That's not what the scripture says. Can we look to the screen? Whoever spares the rod hates their children, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. That's what the scripture actually says. Spare the rod and spoil the child was actually not spoken by God, Jesus, or anyone who had actually has written the scriptures. But the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. I don't know about you. I'll be the first to say that I haven't got this right all the time. Like when you're like pushed within an inch of sanity and sleep deprivation. It's not easy to be careful. It's not easy to discipline out of love. I'm just being honest today. But discipline is meant to be a normal part of growing up, but careful discipline with love. Not anger, not hate in your heart, not outworking the same behaviors that were outworked against you. See, without good discipline, a child doesn't develop into the productive, well-rounded citizens and followers of God that he calls them to be. But the scripture does not justify abuse. And again, I'm not coming with a stick today to whack you, pun intended. This is, let's learn the scriptures and implement them so that our families grow to look like what God has called us to be. So the question I have for you today is, what is your child's rod? Some of you who have processed this a little bit over the years will be like, I get where you're going with this. What they love is their rod. So how you execute discipline in this way, Mason's looking at me, it's like, don't say it. Don't say it. How you execute discipline must be out of love. If their rod is motorbikes, games, toys, TV, going out, let me tell you, those things straighten somebody up quicker than the traditional, what we've heard of in the years past, whack, whack, whack. My kids, I was talking to Bevan this week, and he's like, so my dad took the PlayStation away for a week. His dad's here with us today. Took it away for a week, and it's like, it was enough. I wanted to be a good boy after that. You know, my kids, I upgraded our entire home network so that I could use it as a rod for my children. From my phone, I can press one button and the whole internet turns off. Every single one of their phones up until the age of 18 had parental controls on it. It's like they would pick up their phone and it might as well have been a brick at 9 p.m. because it's like it doesn't do anything after 9. It tells the time after 9. What is your child's rod? Change up the way. Do it in love. Do it out of protection. Do it out of formation. Do it out of pointing them to the loving God. Amen. See, bringing discipline and sticking to discipline is important. Like, don't make threats. What's God's plan for family and parenting? Don't bring threats. If you do that one more time, I don't know about you, but I'm the kid that if my parent says, if you do that one more time, I'm gonna, it's like, let's see if it's true. Let's see what happens. Let's throw caution to the wind. Let's roll with the dice. Because chances are, based on your track history, you're just going to say it again. Give you a glimpse into my life as a child. See, sticking to discipline is important, so make sure you can follow through on it. Sitting with them, talking with them, building relationship with them, sharing that their behavior and actions is not who God designed them to be. It's our greatest breakthroughs with our kids have been them sitting on our bed with us. Our greatest breakthroughs have been when they're at the absolute worst, that they'll be lying on our floor in our bedroom. They're just ready to give up on the world. And sometimes, you know, I've got to be honest, it's like 11 p.m. and like one of them just comes and lays himself on the floor and you're like, oh God, come on. I'm so tired. But it's where the greatest breakthroughs happen. Spending time with your young people. And they're like, they don't want to spend time with me. I guarantee you, there is a part of their heart that is yearning to have close relationship. And guess who's the only person who can facilitate it and bring the breakthrough of change in your generation? That's right, it's you. It's you. You know, one of the things that we've talked about, myself and Naomi, is that with our children, it's like, I love you so much that I'm willing to go through this, to sit with you, to spend time with you, to help form you, to be not just kind, not just to be unselfish, but to help you become more Christ-like. You know, this is the objective within family, to help people to become more Christ-like, not to hurt them, not to break their spirits. You know, these are just some of the examples that I've talked about this morning, but we're about supporting and bringing discipline to a young person so that they become more like Christ. You know, if you truly believe this, maybe this is what you were told, maybe this is what was shown to you by your parents, if you truly believe that a rod or a belt is going to break a child's will, you're mistaken. You will only break their spirit and drive a long-term wedge. Amen. Now, the second part of this scripture is that the one who loves their children is careful to discipline. So I just pose the question, is your loving discipline careful? Is it well thought through? Does it have the heart of God? Do you need to go for a walk around the block before you execute what you think you're about to execute? You know, I believe that the New Testament gets the heart and wisdom of the proverb that we've just read. Ephesians 6 verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. I think this pulls it together beautifully. Bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord, not from your generational experience. Amen. You know, the full passage in context to Ephesians 6 here starts in verse 1. Children. We're all children. Young people are wasting away out. We're all children. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. For this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you. And you have a long life on the earth. Fathers, don't provoke your children to anger. I want to encourage you parents. I want to encourage you younger person. There is a reciprocal relationship within family. We see it in this passage. There is a reciprocal relationship here. Parents, love your children well and train them well, instruct them well in the ways of the Lord. Don't provoke them to anger and bitterness, and you're going to make it way easier for your children to honor you. Amen? You open up the doorway to honor in the way that you love and discipline your young people. Young person or older person who still may be carrying a bitter wound of anger from your youth, allow God to minister to your heart. Allow God to minister to your family. Allow God to minister to your future family. It's like I'm 14. I'm not thinking about kids yet. I get it. But it's a possibility that it could be in your future. Allow God to minister to your heart now. Allow God to minister to your heart so that your future kids, the future generations, will thank you for putting honor in place now. Parents, is there something that you need to do to make it easier for your child? So that sounds like work. Yes. Yes, it is. It is work. You know, if provocation or anger or behaviors or words have been weaponized, what do you need to do to start the healing process? As a parent, what can you do? Because you have the power and authority. This year, it's about power and authority that God gives us. You have the power and authority in God to start that process and say, it's hard. It's like, I feel like I've failed. For all of us, come on. But we've got the power and authority in Jesus to start the process. If you need to go speak to a counselor to start that process, please. If you need to catch up with one of the pastors, please. Start the process. See, the damage and the pain makes it near impossible for a child to bring honor to the one who's hurt them and then acts like everything's fine. Let God do the work. Let's bring God's best into our families. Be the hands and feet of God's redemption arc for your family. Now, be a parent who declares, I want God's promises for family. Be a young person who declares, I'm getting this right now because I want God's best for my family and for my future family. So the foundation of all our training, the foundation of all of our correction is love. Next part briefly that I want to talk about today is compassion. Imperative for parents and families that compassion rules the heart within your family. In the scriptures, we'll see this passage in Mark 6:34. It says, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. The heart of a shepherd sees people, hearts filled with compassion. The heart of a father or mother sees their family and their hearts filled with compassion when we're under the control of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 14:14, he had compassion on them. Matthew 15:32, I have compassion on the crowd. Matthew 7:13, when the Lord saw her, his heart overflowed with compassion. See, when Jesus was with people, his heart was moved by compassion. Why? Because his heart was in tune with God's heart. God has compassion on all of his creation. May our hearts and minds continue to be renewed in Jesus. May any hurt and pain and dysfunction be brought to the feet of Jesus. May we touch the hem of his garment and may healing be released, so that we can start to feel the same compassion in place of our old defaults. Amen. For every single one of us. Psalms 103:13 says this, as a father has compassion in his children, so the Lord has compassion on his faithful followers. So I'm not asking you to do something that hasn't been done first. God has compassion on his faithful followers, and he calls us as parents and the body of Christ to exercise the same compassion. Colossians 3:12 takes it even a step further. Therefore, as God's chosen people, you are God's chosen people today, amen. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Let's learn to be individuals who are clothed with compassion. Amen. And the last thing I want to talk about today is this, is godly generational legacy. And I'm going to come at it from maybe a little bit of a different angle to maybe how we would traditionally talk about these things, because we're talking about family and parenting. Psalm 112, 1-3 says this, "Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. His offspring will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever." Psalm 103:13 says this, "But the steadfast love of the Lord from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children." I want to encourage you, when we talk about generational legacy, those who fear the Lord lead their families well. Those who are saying, you know, I don't want the world, what the world offers. I honor, I fear, I revere God, and I want to have his statutes in my life, his ways in my life, and I want to pass it on to my kids. How do we see the blessing of the Lord passed down from generation to generation? We as parents, we as leaders in our household, we're called to live it out so our kids see it. We're called to live it out so they're like, that's the way that God calls me to live. That's the way that God calls me. The way we live, the way we carry out the teaching of the Lord, our reverence for him. It's an open door for godly generational legacy for our children. And this is God's heart. Now I pray it be ours as well. When we live well, when we have reverence towards God. 3 John 1:4. "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." The ultimate legacy that you can pass to your children is salvation. I know many of us are going about trying to build up wealth and build up riches just to make it that little bit easy for our kids, and God bless you. But surely that comes second to godly generational legacy. What good is it for them to have 6 houses but not be walking in the truth? Now, I'm not saying don't do both, but I'm saying it's got to be an order. It's got to be an order. You know, for this to happen, I want to encourage you. Maybe you're in this place where you're wrestling with certain things still. It's time to turn your back on the old life. Young person, turn your back on the world. Turn your back on being tempted by things in the world. Get good people around you. Listen to the correction and instruction from your parents. Get good people close to you who are going to encourage you into all the things that God has for you. Why? Because as we do that, we're saying, God, I just want your ways. I want your blessing. See, when you evaluate your legacy, can I be so bold as to state that saying one thing and doing another sends a message to your children? And I'm not putting myself above anyone here, not for a moment today. But it's like, just be aware of what we do, what we say, what we make excuses for, what we justify. It sends a message to our kids. Serve the Lord with sincerity. Turn your back on the idols of the generation before you. Choose who you're going to serve. Joshua 24:14-15 says this, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him with sincerity and faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it's evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day who you'll serve, whether the gods of your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord." When you read the scripture, you need to see it through the land in which you're living in right now, the generation that you're living in right now, the culture that you're living in right now. Will your eyes be swayed by the messaging that comes out in the current culture?
Will you adopt practices that seem acceptable? Can I encourage you? I wasn't going to say this, but I'm going to. If you've got idols in your home, it's time to get them out. If you've got a little Buddha next to the front door and you're a follower of Jesus, come on. Come on. Oh, it's just like a decoration. We can't flirt with the other side of the Spirit. Either we're holy gods or we're making it easy for the next generation to slip further. What we do, what we say, what we make excuses for. And that's not a whack. That's a, hey, come on. God's called us to holiness. This scripture here, it's like, who am I going to serve? Am I going to serve the Lord? Or am I going to serve the culture that I'm part of? But as for me and my house, when you evaluate your legacy, who are you going to serve? Are you going to serve the Lord with sincerity? Are you going to turn your back on the idols of the generations before you? Are you going to choose, you know, the past, the current, or are you going to serve the house of the Lord? You know, before we land, you know, if you didn't have the experience that I've been talking about today, I think it would be probably fair to say that there's very, very few people in the space to be like, yeah, that was my experience. It's okay. This is why we're coming around it, because we want the next generations to have a better experience, the next generation of them to have a better experience as we keep adding the ways of the Lord to our practices. Amen. So maybe there's some things that you've picked up along the way that it's like, this is still hurting me. My heart hurts a little bit from these things still. I want to encourage you today that God sees you, sees the things that you've had to go through, and His heart is for you, and compassion fills His heart for you today. The door is open for healing. The door is open to work through these things. And at the same time, God still calls us not to stay in those things, but at the same time, to activate what the scriptures call us to do. Don't wait to be ready. If you wait to be, I just need to work through all these things, and then we might get to start when we make it to heaven, if we wait to be ready. Amen? None of us are perfect, but we need to start. We need to start just with the simple. So God wants to bring restoration. He wants to help bring maybe even discipline into your life, because it's like, I've never experienced discipline. God wants to bring discipline to your life. God wants to bring you to a place where you can outwork your new identity in Jesus in a way that you didn't understand was possible. By God's grace today, we're getting a glimpse of who God's called us to step into. Growing in compassion, being committed to the legacy, is born in reverence and fear of God. And maybe you've discounted yourself and you're like, I can't do any of these things. Can I encourage you? The Spirit of God who dwells within you gives you power to outwork these things. Don't give up. In fact, I would say that maybe the feeling, the thoughts of like, I'm just going to give up, it started a long time ago. It started when you were small. It's like, this is too hard. I don't even know what family is. God wants to do a work that breaks those things off your life to step into the fullness of the family of God and the family that God's called you to have. This is your moment. Your redemption arc is not complete. God is still outworking your story. Amen? God's still outworking your story. What's God's plan for family and parenting? Let me finish it up this morning. Teach your kin while you can. Offer compassion to all. Let your legacy be a heart that fears God. Choose Him. Choose to serve Him. And declare that your house is His. Amen. Declare it. I'll finish with this scripture. Be careful to obey all these words that I command you, that it may go well with you and with your children after you forever. When you do what is good and right in the sight of the Lord. May our hearts just say, God, just empower me to do everything that you've called me to do. You know, we're a church that's devoted. In a moment, we're going to close the service in a moment. But I'm acutely aware that God is speaking to people, and many people are probably going to want prayer this morning. And I just want to create a space for that to happen. I don't want to send you back out into your week without someone coming and standing with you, praying with you, believing for God's best, believing for breakthrough, believing for healing to start in this moment. And if you don't, not after prayer this morning, that's okay. Spend time out in the foyer, fellowship with each other. But if you want prayer today, the altar's going to be open. Our pastors and our prayer team are going to be here to stand with you. Before we do that, if you don't know Jesus personally here today, we do this in every service because this might be the only day that you get to hear it. You know, God loved the world, loved you so much that he sent his one and only son, walked without sin, blameless, went to the cross and was buried on the third and rose again on the third day for the forgiveness of our sin. There are so many reasons why we shouldn't be accepted as individuals by God. And God saw that, acknowledged that, and sent his son in place of our sin. And so maybe you're like, I'm not worthy to be known by God. God has made a way for you to be known and worthy by him. It's his son, Jesus. I want to give you the opportunity to know God as your father, not as some old guy in the clouds that's far away from you, but the heart of God, God the Father that wants to embrace you, bring you close and love you. He's here for you today, that you'd be known. And so if that's you today, just with everyone's eyes closed for a moment, maybe you've never made a decision to follow him. Maybe you've been gone off and done your own thing. Jesus is calling you home. God's calling you home. Just like the prodigal son, calling you home to be known. And so we're going to pray a prayer. Pray a prayer of salvation. Pray a prayer of giving our hearts to Jesus, saying, come and dwell within my heart. Church, can you join me in praying this as well? But if you're praying this for the first time or coming back to him, pray it loud. We're going to pray it loud together to support you. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you that you sent your son. I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth that you raised him on the third day for the forgiveness of my sins. I surrender my life. I repent of my sin. And from this day on, I choose to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We pray that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.